Hello, hello, and welcome to another podcast episode of Overpowering Emotions, where I talk all things big emotions, emotion regulation, anxiety management, resilience, and we're on our journey of resilience. Now, I've already talked about problem-focused coping and emotion-focused coping in the previous weeks. If you missed those, definitely go back and check those out because they build on each other. And today, I'm going to be talking about how we can help our kids decide which of those coping strategies to use. So, you need to have a good idea about them. So definitely go back if you haven't. First, we need to make sure that they kind of know the differences between what those different strategies are. And the key differences is that emotion-focused coping, when we're looking at distinguishing it from problem-focused, one is the focus of attention. Okay, so in emotion-focused coping, the primary focus is on recognizing, expressing, accepting, regulating emotions. Those are the skills that we work on. A lot of the things that I've talked about over the past few years on this podcast. So it's really addressing the emotional aspects of any given situation. For problem-solving focused coping, however, the primary focus is on identifying whatever practical aspects of the situation are. We're generating solutions, you know, brainstorming different ideas, figuring out which is the best step to take, you know, and then looking at those concrete actions that we're going to, you know, address whatever the issue is. So when we're looking at the role of emotions with emotion-focused coping, we're acknowledging the significance of emotions as, you know, a natural response to different situations, which really makes it easier to express emotions in a healthy and constructive manner when we see that it's a normal response, right? We need to have emotions and they're signaling something important to us. With problem-solving coping, we need to recognize that emotions are important. That's still important, but we're prioritizing not so much the emotions. It's still important to address them. Feel them in the body. Where are they? How do they feel? All of those emotion regulation strategies are important. But now we can look at objectively problem solving, right? So the aims to address the root causes of the emotional distress by finding solutions. So that's where it's a little bit different. If we're just managing, accepting, tolerating the emotions, or are we getting at what's causing them, you know, or contributing to them in the first place? That's why, you know, we need to look at, especially if there are situations like bullying or, you know, conflict management or things that we do have some control over, and screens. I've talked about that quite a bit. So which is more effective at handling emotional distress? Well, emotion-focused coping is effective for managing emotion, whatever comes up with emotions, whatever emotional distress comes up. And it can create some relief by acknowledging and processing those emotions, right? It doesn't take as much time and energy as problem solving, but we know that immediate relief is not the end game here, really, right? It's being able to know whatever comes up, I am able to manage that. That's important, really, for it's a foundation for anything that we're going to be doing. Problem solving focused coping might actually indirectly reduce that emotional distress because now we're resolving the underlying problem in the first place. If you keep stepping on a rock in your shoe and you're getting irritable and, you know, take the rock out of the shoe, you're probably not going to be so irritable anymore. It's not providing immediate emotional relief. In that case, it would be, but you still might be, there still might be after effects of irritability or maybe some after effects of you snapping at someone, for example. But we're really building those long-term skills that's going to help us over time, that's going to have longer lasting benefits at the end of the day. So that's really important to think about. Now, applicability and effectiveness really depend on the different situations. So emotion-focused is obviously applicable and more effective in situations where that emotional expression, the emotion regulation, those are essential. Right? Whenever we're experiencing really uncomfortable or overwhelming emotions, you know, anything that comes up with anger or grief or loss or just overwhelming sadness. So looking at those things and anxiety, of course, it's also helpful when we don't have any control in that situation, right? It's just maybe there's no option to take that shoe off for whatever reason. You are running from a burning building, right? So you just got to cope with it in that moment. You cannot take off that shoe, you know, as you're running through this burning building. Maybe in a bit you can, but maybe there's just not immediate actions or practical solutions to solve, right? That can be really tricky. So like I said before, it's a good idea to focus on that emotion coping before we go into problem solving anyway, before we go into any potentially, you know, conflictual situation. We want to keep that prefrontal cortex online. We want to be able to express ourselves effectively. So those emotion-focused strategies are still very important. So the focus there is really about taking the time to process those emotions and learn to self-soothe and cope with them. The problem-solving focused coping is better for challenges, again, with those practical solutions. I keep talking about this, but that's really important. We still have to do that emotion focus before. We do have control. We can be empowered to take concrete actions to address whatever that problem is. So for our kids, any school challenges, maybe time management issues, getting ready for bedtime on time issues, any conflict resolution, decision-making. If they're experiencing any chronic stressors, right? Or if they can do something differently to change the situation. But at the end of the day, they are really complementary. That's so important. We have to be able to manage our emotions to be able to problem solve effectively, to keep that prefrontal cortex online so we can figure out what's next, right? When we can regulate our emotions, we can think clearly. And when we're problem solving, it's not just one before the other. I mean, it could be sort of cyclical, right, in this way. But with those problem solving, we are finding practical solutions that could be contributing to the emotional distress. So it's not necessarily one before the other, but the emotion regulation is probably really important anyways, so we can think clearly. But that's for us to know. How can we, and making sure that our kids know that too. So how do we help kids figure out the best approach in the moment to be able to take? Lots of front loading, lots of proactively, we're going to encourage them to learn more about those situations where the pesky, you know, worry dragon or freaking out brand, when do they show up? So we're encouraging that self-awareness. We're teaching them to recognize and label everything that comes up with those emotions, right? The behaviors that come out of them, as well as maybe their stories, but for sure what's happening in the body. That's an essential precursor for choosing the most suitable coping approach. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We have to have that. So I'm always encouraging families to, you've heard me talk about it before, emotion wheel or emoji cards. Do it every day. You know, maybe it's at dinner, right when we get home from work and school, everyone's just doing a check-in to talk about how they're feeling now, or maybe in a situation through the day. But for sure now, that can be helpful in that moment. When we're doing that, we're normalizing feelings, we're creating a safe space that's non-judgmental. They can express their feelings and to know it's okay to feel a wide range of emotions, even anger, even upset, right? That normalization is really important as well. So from there, when we're building that self-awareness and being able to talk about those things, we can talk about the applicability of what approach to take. So after we share our feelings every day regularly, we can ask, you know, is there a problem to be solved? Is it going to address those feelings and how they're feeling? If not, we're going to talk more about the emotion regulation for being able to manage those upset feelings, right? We can't change the situation. Maybe your science project was completely destroyed on the bus and the science fair is over. So we can't go back. We can't rewind time. We can't, you know, change that situation. So it's really managing those big emotions, so that big disappointment, right? Versus problem solving. Maybe it's it got destroyed on the bus, but the science fair isn't for a couple more days. So now we have a practical challenge that we can address. The other day, my daughter was really upset because she had a wrestling match and a volleyball game. And so it was both on the same night. There was a problem to be solved, right? She couldn't just sit in her feelings of upset or disappointment or anxiety. Who is she going to upset? What is she going to miss, right? Yes, she had to accept them, but there was a decision to be made about which one she was going to and how she was going to handle that, right? Because there were some implications, not just for that one match. It was if she's going to go to divisionals for wrestling, for example. So yes, definitely some emotion regulation initially to manage that upset and to keep our prefrontal cortex online so we can think flexibly and make the best decision that she could make. If we're doing this process with them every single day, we're modeling healthy strategies ourselves, right? We're going to bring our own stressors to the table. We're going to talk about it. We're going to process through it so they can see all of the things that I'm talking about live in action, right? And how to manage those emotions, how to address any challenges effectively. And then having them help you maybe decide. We're going to brainstorm together. What are a bunch of different options that I could take? That's going to help them develop flexibility in seeing how we figure out the process and choosing the best approach to fit the situation, right? Then they can go and take that on for themselves, which is really important. So here, I mean, we're really emphasizing both the emotion coping and problem solving coping have a place, right? Both are valuable tools in our kids' emotional toolbox. So they need to have flexibility. The choice between these really depends on the nature of the challenge at hand. So we have to guide them to make those informed decisions about which strategy to employ, you know, depending on what the situation is. But ultimately, the ability to effectively manage emotions and navigate challenges is a really valuable skill that equips kids for success in day-to-day interactions, for their emotional well-being, for their resilience. So just think about those. The biggest takeaway really from all of this is to ensure that they are learning skills. It's too easy to take the emotion coping route and, you know, just say, okay, accept, but we're avoiding the problem. Or maybe we're going to problem solve, but we're avoiding the discomfort. We're only going to set them up for failure. So this was short and sweet. I'm going to leave it there for today, just so I want you to start thinking about how can we set up the system so that we could be talking about how we're feeling, dropping into the body. That's part of that emotional awareness. And now, what's next? Is there something else that needs to be done? If so, we're going to go through the problem solving steps. We're going to identify what the problem is, right? What are some options? What are different options that we can take to be able to solve this problem? We're going to brainstorm every different idea. Then we're going to narrow it down to the most feasible ones. Maybe if one is jumping out at you, that's okay, or feasible other ones. Create a pros and cons. What are the benefits of doing this approach? What are some drawbacks? What are some challenges that might get in the way? How can we address those challenges? Let's go implement it. And I would do time, you know, a short period of time. So let's say, with the science example, it would be, okay, we've got tonight to figure this out, maybe tomorrow. Let's look at our schedule. But if there's a ongoing thing, maybe it is like getting ready for bedtime, for example, maybe it's okay, we've got this plan. It's Tuesday night now. We're going to try it until Friday. Let's do a check-in on Friday and see how it's going. And then what we can look to tweak. So that's going to be really important, right? And so we're just going to be encouraging that self-awareness. When we're doing this, we're promoting that emotional intelligence, which I've already talked about. We're going to be looking at those practical problem-solving skills. That's really important. So think about starting, you know, looking at the emotions. It's the acceptance, dropping into the body. Where do I feel it? Two different emotions would be great in our body, how we're feeling it. We're keeping that prefrontal cortex on so then we can go look at that problem-solving strategy. So you can try those things. You might even start a journal, right? A journal could be helpful to just so kids can develop that awareness of their emotions and starting to learn to discern, you know, okay, I'm using my emotion-focused acceptance and tolerating. Is there a problem to be solved? Do I need to use my problem solving focused, right? So I think that that's really important. So daily check-in, have a discussion about it, use your emotion wheel or emoji cards if you have them. But even if you don't want to label the emotion, just where are you feeling that in your body, right? We're all going to identify and share the feelings for the day. We're not judging them. We're not fixing them. We're just validating them. That's our response. And then we're chatting about whether the emotions are linked to a specific situation or challenge that requires action. If yes, we're going to explore, you know, what are some practical steps, some options. We're modeling that problem solving focused coping. If not, we're going to focus more on those strategies. Our job is just to validate. I guess I didn't go into that too much, but the same thing that I've been talking about all this time, you know, they got to learn to manage and accept those emotions and tolerate them. So we are going to validate that. Now, if you wanted to add a journal piece, this is the only other addition that I would say, everyone can journal about their experience after reflecting. So you have your discussion, and then maybe you're reflecting on the coping strategies that you chose. You know, what was the problem? What were the steps? How did it go? Right? We're going to use the same steps describing the emotions. We can identify, you know, do they relate to a specific situation or challenge? Right? What approach is going to be most appropriate and why? And then how did you feel after? So you could reflect too at the end of the week, looking for patterns of some of those emotional experiences, which coping strategies that they're using, what did they learn? How can that help them in the future? It's just important that we're doing this as a family. It's not just any one child or teen or one person, because I don't want them thinking, what's wrong with me? Why do I have to do this? They'll be way more engaged if it's a family activity. And if we're regularly practicing the strategies, they're going to develop a really versatile emotional toolbox. They're going to promote their resilience, right? It's just part of their practice. So I'll leave it there for today. Thank you for joining me. Go try those things out. If you just want the discussion part, that's great. If you want to add the journal piece or just do the journal piece instead, that's great too. Help those kiddos be bold and courageous, and I will see you next time.